الله وبركاته. كيف حالكم؟ بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أبدا سرمدا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل أعمائه. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد المصطفى الصادق الأمين والرسول المبين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. I am to share with you these few moments, my dear young brothers and sisters, and not so young brothers and sisters, few reflections about that which beautiful young brothers and sisters entitled The Gateway Sin. The Gateway Sin. There is a gateway and there is a sin. In other words, the sin that is the door and the gate to other sins. A sin that sometimes we might perceive as insignificant and minor in our perception, but that will cause, unfortunately, a cascade of more sins and even sometimes more terrible ones. And who pays for the consequences of sins? We do, I do, each one of us does. For every sin, my dear sisters and brothers, has a consequence. In our lives, in this dunya, in this world, before the hereafter, consequences in the hereafter are terrible. There's nothing worse than Jahannam wal a'yadhu billah. And there is nothing as beautiful ever as Jannah walhamdulillah. There should be, in the mind of a believing man or woman, young or old, I know when we're young perhaps it's more difficult, there should not be something called a small or minor sin. When in our fiqh we speak of dhanbun aw ma'siyatun saghira versus kabira, it is not on account of it being insignificant, but simply in relationship to the major sin, to that which is a kabira, it is a saghira. But we should never look at it as a saghira. لِأَنَّ كُلَّ إِسْرَارٍ مَعَ صَغِيرَةٍ كَبِيرَةٍ الْإِسْرَارُ عَلَى الصَّغِيرَةِ كَبِيرَةٍ. Because insistence upon something that we perceive as minor sin, persisting in that continuously, makes it a major sin. And just like walhamdulillah, wala kabirata ma'astaghfar. But also when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, and we return to Allah azza wa jalla with our minds and hearts and senses, then Allah's merciful law erases that sin, even if major. But a minor sin that we continue to commit insistently becomes a major sin. The mu'min, believing man or woman, sees his or her sin like a mountain about to fall upon his or her head. And Monalda, some of the characteristics were mentioned earlier, and Monalda sees his or her sin, as one scholar put it, rahimahullah ta'ala, like a fly that lands on his nose and says, like that. That's the munafiq. But the mu'min, any violation, he or she sees that as a mountain about to crumble upon his or her head. Why? Because the mu'min does not look at the nature of that disobedience or the magnitude of that disobedience, but he or she looks at whom he or she disobeyed. At disobeying Allah, God, if we know what that means, it's never, never something insignificant. Never. My dear sisters and brothers, sins have always consequences. By the way, in a linguistic way, twist of the linguistic way, it's enough that it is called dhanb. And dhanb is from the same nature of words as dhanab. And what is dhanab? Is the tail of an animal. Every time I commit a dhanb, I am a dhanab. I am a tail. I am in the back position behind the tail. That's not a comfortable place to be. At the rear end, forgive me, of the posterior part of an animal. To commit a dhanb is to be a dhanb. SubhanAllah. Remember that, my dear sisters and brothers. The condition of dhanb has always consequences. It makes us weak. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa hu. It makes us weak inside when it comes to spiritual strength and moral strength and important strength and wisdom. It makes us weak. It's not cool. It's not strength to commit a dhanb. Because when we commit a dhanb, we obey our nafs. We go along with our low and base nafs. And when we go along with our base nafs, we lose potential energy. Does it remind you of something, young men and women who study basic physics? When you walk downhill, what happens to your potential energy? You lose it. You lose potential energy. The energy you need to walk straight, actually. When you go downhill, meaning it's easy to go downhill physically, going downhill at the level of the nafs is indulging the nafs, going along with the nafs. And when we go downhill with the nafs, we lose potential energy, we become weaker, subhanAllah. And the more I commit to them, the more difficult, because I become weaker in my spiritual and moral resolve, the more difficult it becomes to wake up for Fajr Salah. The more it becomes difficult to perform regular Salah, the more it becomes difficult to speak the truth, the more it becomes difficult to be just and fair, the more it becomes difficult not to cheat, and not to backbite, and not to injure others unjustly. Because you become weaker, you lost resolve. Even when we know the truth, we are unable to follow it. Because we have weakness inside. For so long, we've been going downhill, meaning walking downhill, meaning obeying myself, meaning committing sin. Committing sins is weakness. Committing sins is ugly. It makes us ugly. Wallahi azeem. There are some ibad of Allah who see the ugliness in the face of a person who has just committed a sin. He doesn't see that. She doesn't see that. Some others don't see that. Some ibadah of Allah, by the firasa that Allah gave them, wallahi al-azim, they see it in the face. Allah speaks about al-qatara wal-ghabara in the Quran, in the face, about those who deliberately and obstinately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that ugliness in the qalb and that darkness in the qalb surfaces in some ways to be seen even on the face of the person. No matter what their complexion is. And the opposite is true. When one obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continuously does that, no matter what his or her complexion is, there is nur on the face that some discern and see. It is not good to commit a dhanb, my dear sisters and brothers. A dhanb needs us to weaken, needs us to be in distress, in fear. Wallahi al-azim, another consequence of dhanb can lead to that. As you treat others, as you behave with Allah, so you will be treated in this dunya. I know of a person who confessed to that Hafiz of Allah, young man who was married and had a child. And he was a young child, a son. And the man was angry for some reason, and he hurt the child. And he did not mean to hurt the child. He thought he was disciplining and educating the child even in a religious way. And he left that night and went to the masjid and told me, wallahi al-azim, he said, I was attacked by two young men. It was winter, he said. They threw at me snowballs. And I got angry. And I went to chase them behind. And I went behind them to chase them. They went out because they were in the house. They came out, they tried to run, they tried to pursue them, but they wrestled him down and hurt him. And in that moment he said, I remembered. I knew that was from Allah has returned to me. Wallahi al-azim. Sometimes a person looks at us in the face and that's a bad number. Or a person says a strong word to us. And oftentimes we look at ourselves as victimized. Wallahi al-azim, many times, if not oftentimes, that is a consequence of the dhanb I committed. Yes, he or she should not have done that. Allah Azza wa Jalla will take care of that. But Allah Azza wa Jalla leave that and allow that to happen. That act of injustice on their part to me because of the injustice I have committed through that sin in my relationship with Allah, or and in my relationship with the creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are gateway sins. When we speak too much, my dear sisters and brothers, the use of our tongue is a gateway sin. The more we talk, the more we shall be prone to commit more serious dhunub. And especially that other gateway sin, which is the consequence of the gateway sin of speaking maybe a little bit too much, and kidding, lying. Lying. Men and women, young and old, lie. Lie. Parents lie, children lie, teachers lie. And we learn about lying sometimes at home. Somebody calls my father or my mother and they answer and they answer and they tell them I am not here. But I am here. You And lying is the most despised sin to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you are told about him, that the worst of sin to him was lying. It's to lie. Lying opens the gate to much more serious sins and much more terrible relationships with other creatures, with other human beings, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another gateway sin. Another. To use our eyes freely. To use our eyes freely. And the eyes and the ears, or to use our ears freely. And not to be careful in terms of what sort of signals we allow through our eyes and what sort of signals we allow through our ears, because both of those we channel into our hearts. And then we do that terrible effect in our mood. The images we see shall always come to haunt us once we grow spiritually. For when we are dead spiritually, we don't feel the pain. A dead skin does not feel the wound, the pain of the wound. But when by the grace of Allah we begin to live again spiritually and remember the gazes we allow in our hearts, the sounds we allow to enter into our hearts, and we begin to know what hijab of the qalb means, oh, they shall come and haunt us. Even after tawbah, the effect is there. And what worse of an effect it is, when even we were forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal, and on the day of judgment, we come in front of Allah, and He tells us, Ya Abdi, you did this, and I saw you, and I was there. Will a mu'min stand that? Will a mu'min man or woman live with that? Some in their prayers say, Ya Allah, forgive me in such a way that when I come to you, I never remember what I did, and you never tell me about what I did. Because the pain of after forgiveness, of standing in front of Allah and being told, every sin has a consequence. Every sin has a consequence. Don't think until we die and after resurrection. No, even in this dunya, there are consequences for sins, my dear sisters. And for that reason, I would like that any possible gateway sin is removed from my mind, from my heart, from my life. Another gateway sin, in addition to the tongue and the loose use of the tongue and the loose use of my eyes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam in one hadith described the gaze and the free use of a gaze as sahmun min siham iblis, an arrow of the arrows of the devil, with which he targets what? My heart. And wounds my heart, and maybe mortally wounds me to die spiritually. Watch your gaze. Watch your gaze. And that is extended to that which we invite at our homes to gaze at in so many ways that are detrimental to our hearts. The box called television. And the other box nowadays called computer with internet, with all the accesses to all sorts of sites, SITE and SIGHT, all sorts of sites. All sorts of sites, Ya Latif. I do not have to expose my heart to that. But if I do that, even if I go and study chemistry on internet, but I'm learning, though I do not have a computer yet, I'm learning that once you turn on the computer, it's already there. It invites you, it suggests to you to go to this and that, and there are a few scenes there, even for a few seconds. And every fraction of a second used in watching that, even not deliberately, changes my heart. It is said, one of the ulama relate this with a sanad that is daif, but it has a powerful meaning. That one of the Sahaba, and I'm not going to mention his name, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was young, on his way to visit Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing away, when he was the Khalifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he entered, the companion, the young companion said, on my way, I had walked and gazed at a woman in those days, 14 centuries ago in Medina. What did a woman look like on the outside? He said, I gazed at a woman and I allowed my gaze. And then forgot it and went and entered the home of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he looked at me in the face and said, why do some of you enter in my presence with zina in their faces? With zina. Sexual promiscuity in their faces. The young companion said very to him, what? Is there nubuwah after Rasulullah? He said, no, firasat mu'min. No, Sidi, the firasa, the spiritual insight of a mu'min, of a mu'min. There are those who see that in our faces. There are. It is true. Gateway to sin. Two more. One of them is a one that we do often. We do often doubt. We doubt and we build a doubt and we build a thought about a person, man or woman, which is speculative, and then we entertain it and we allow it to grow in our minds and we go along with it. We don't stop it at the beginning, and that will lead us to cause much more harm to others and to sin in ways that are greater than that first stimulus of running of negative thought about another person. And the best way to deal with that, if we could remember, is once I have a van, I stop it in the beginning. From the beginning, especially those who are used to dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal with their hearts, La ilaha illallah, in their qulub removes that van and they go back to an awareness of Allah subhanahu. One is a gateway sin. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. It's a gateway sin. Al-mukhalata, intermingling too much with anybody, number one, and intermingling with the companionship that has the potential to influence us negatively. The very intermingling is a gateway sin. It's a gate to more serious sin. Had I stopped that from the beginning, I would not have allowed inside myself and entertained and felt at times even easy with the next state of sin. And it is said that sometimes Allah punishes a person who has committed a sin by allowing them to commit another sin. SubhanAllah. That second sin is sometimes, I underline the word sometimes, is a punishment from Allah for a previous sin for which we have not sincerely repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A gateway sin. There are many other gateway sins, my dear sisters. allow me briefly to conclude, I want to talk to you about a gateway virtue. It is the gateway virtue. That which we do not take very seriously, as we do not take very seriously a gateway sin. And a gateway virtue, and a most important gateway virtue, a virtue to every good, what do you think it is? Which one is it? The gateway to every chayim. As-Saduq. 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 Truthfulness. Truthfulness. To be truthful, never lie. Never lie. Never lie. Truthfulness. Never lie. Even when it is against you. Never lie. And at this stage of ours, all of us should not think of, oh yeah, I know exceptions that are in the hadith. It is like somebody who is intoxicated, and we tell them intoxicants are still good for you in some exceptions. We lie. We are addicted in lying. There is no exception to wife or to husband. There is no exception. Because we are not yet truthful. I am not yet truthful. I must never lie. Never lie. That, if we keep that gate, subhanAllah, that will lead us to all virtue. Inna as-sidqa, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches in that famous hadith, wa inna as-sidqa, and truth leads to al-birr. الصدق كما أن الكذب يؤدي إلى الفجور فإن الصدق يؤدي إلى البر والبر يؤدي إلى الجنة as رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Truthfulness leads to everything that is birr, virtues. Virtues. And one more key gateway virtue which we miss when we sometimes allow ourselves and indulge ourselves in worldly matters. قِلَّةُ الْحَيَاةِ. And the gateway virtue, الْحَيَاةِ, الْحَيَاةِ, الْحَيَاةِ. That which is translated sometimes as bashfulness and humbleness and shyness. All these words are not حَيَاة. They are all elements of حَيَاة. None of them is حَيَاة. Beautiful word in the Arabic language and in Islam, for it is basically of the same root as haya, which is life. Istahya means to resuscitate, to resurrect, to keep alive, and it also means to show haya. So if there is no haya, there is no life. Gateway. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-haya'u khayrun kullu. Haya, all of it is beautiful. There is no exception. Again, my dear sisters and brothers. And finally, my dear sisters, as an author teaches us, some say it is a hadith, the sanad of it is debated. But it is beautiful. For it says many things, and of those beautiful things about what is beautiful and حسن, it says الحياء حسن ولكنه في النساء أحسن. حياء is beautiful, but in women it is even more beautiful. Men having حياء are beautiful. Men having no حياء are ugly. A woman having haya is even more beautiful. A woman with lack of haya is even uglier. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endow our hearts embellish our hearts and adorn our hearts with all gateway virtues. And may He liberate our hearts and the hearts of our young brothers and sisters and daughters and sons, and all of our brothers and sisters. May He free subhanahu wa ta'ala our hearts from any and every vice and sin and gateway sin. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.